WrestleTalk.com.
This is Rob Van Dam. You are listening to WrestleTalk Radio, fool.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment, WrestleTalk Radio.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
Hey, this is Charlie Haas, one half of the world's greatest tag team.
I'm Al Snow.
I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? Huh? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake.
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling in the WWE.
I could increase my work rate. I could add to the five moves of doom. Or maybe let my heel persona shine through.
TNA.
What are you looking at, lady? Never seen a pair of boots before? Mind your business.
I think that's a man.
Oh, she needs a wax or something.
You're right.
Ew.
And the indie scene.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Box.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
This is the masterpiece, Chris Masters.
Hi, everybody, this is good old JR Jim Ross.
With your host, Tim Stein.
I have tried to treat you all as adults, but obviously I am the only adult here.
Omega.
You'll do my bidding or taste my wrath.
Mace.
You can't get away from me, Vince. I'm coming for you. Pull it. Bus over, I'll drag you out of there and beat the piss out of you, you billionaire bastard!
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
Who in the blue hell are you?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, baby.
Welcome, everyone, to WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. As usual, this is the Omega, the all-end-all of our little network. Joining me tonight, we have Mace.
Protesting. Don't want to be here. No. Don't want to.
Don't want to.
He's back. I don't want to be here.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen.
I'd rather have boobs than the boob.
Yeah, no Lindsay Ward. Instead, we have the return of the one and only, and thank God for it, Mr. Tim Stein.
Yeah, I'm going to just totally no-sell both of you guys and not respond to your bullshit.
Fine. Fuck you then. Do the show on your own.
He's not going to respond to us, so, Back tonight.
Yeah, we don't have to be here, Omega. Let's go.
There you go. Yeah, boy, I missed you guys. You can't blame me for not being here. I didn't have any goddamn internet.
Don't give a shit.
That's usual.
We had fun while you were gone. Now you're back, the fun's gone.
No, you can still have fun. Go ahead. It's perfectly fine.
Cricket. Cricket.
There's no law that says you can't have fun just because I'm around.
Bullshit.
No shit. Good evening, everybody. Welcome back. WTR, Sunday Night Roast Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Yeah, I'm back. I know maybe two people in the entire galaxy miss me. And wouldn't you know it, those two people that miss me, they're not in the chat room tonight.
Who knows, they might show up later.
There you go. So what's been new, fun, and exciting in your collective lives for the last month, guys? Anything?
You haven't been here.
That's been new, fun, and exciting for you. Okay.
Yeah. Because we actually had fun. We had Spug on the show and had an absolutely brilliant show.
Uh-huh.
We've actually enjoyed wrestling a little bit.
Time
quick
off,
hits
time
didn't
off.
Involve you going, nah, I don't want to answer it.
I'm throwing a penalty, I'm throwing a challenge flag on that one. You cannot say that wrestling was in drill because I haven't been around.
You fucking. You trying to be a fucking NFL referee? You and your fucking flags. Both of you can go get fucked.
I'm impressed he read the rule book, Omega.
I'm just glad he knows what a football flag is now.
What, he didn't before?
He doesn't get football.
He doesn't get it? Mace, you don't get football?
I do, it's on ESPN.
Okay, you get football, but I think Omega's implying you don't understand the game.
I understand it more than he realizes.
I think you understand it better than the referees do. Thanks for the joke, Rock.
I have learned many new things this year. Like the extremely weird ins and outs of Doctor Who.
You've been watching Doctor Who?
Yeah, only the reboot series.
Oh my god, no. Doctor Who hasn't been good since 1976. Seriously.
Oh god, are we really gonna have this debate here and now?
Isn't that the longest running episodic TV series in history?
No, that'd be wrong.
Not if you ask Vince. And, no, it's a cartoon out of Japan called Saisei-san that's run for like, I want to say 4,200 consecutive episodes or something like that.
That's a lot of episodes.
Yeah, it's a shitload.
What the hell is the cartoon about?
It's basically the Japanese version of The Simpsons. It's a sitcom.
Oh, okay, so it's not like Ushikuru or anything like that.
No.
Any weird manga or anime.
No, it's about as normal as anime gets.
You know, I've never heard it spoken. I've read it, the word. Is it manga or manja?
It's manga.
Manga. Okay, what does it mean?
It's basically their word for comic books.
Oh, okay, so when you watch Japanese... Oh, okay. You're actually watching comic book on video. Okay, got it.
No, their cartoons are called anime. Their comic books are called manga.
Okay,
it's
so you...
It's a different language. They have different words for these things.
Well, you've just educated a Canadian non-Jew. Thank you very much.
Should happen more often.
Yeah, there you go. You know, I'll tell you, it doesn't matter how old you get. You're still, capable of learning new things. But seeing as everybody's so happy about me being back...
Is.
What's that?
And after the show, he'll find out what hentai is.
What is hentai? Isn't that like Japanese cartoon porn or something?
See, that one you knew.
I've been listening to Spug all these years, so, you know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I took a guess. I just took an educated guess. That's all that was.
Yeah, Ed.
I swear to God. Well, seeing as everybody's really happy to have me back, why don't we just dive into talk a little bit of professional wrestling? Let's start with your favorite guy there, Omega, John Cena.
Oh, sure, yeah. That's my favorite.
Yeah, okay, you do understand facetiousness, I would assume. So, Cena's hurt, and I guess he had to undergo elbow surgery to remove some bone chips and such. They're saying that he's going to be gone for 6 weeks, at least. Now, do you believe that he's going to be gone for 6 weeks?
Considering he was supposed to be out for a repaired neck for 6 months, and he came back in, three or four?
It was like two or 3 weeks or something like that. Mace, do you know?
I heard about this. Don't care, because even with Cena gone, everybody's going to be going, where's Cena? What's Cena up to? Cena.
Well, now, with you saying that, I'm assuming when you say everybody, you mean the guys at WWE doing the commentating.
No, CM Punk, AJ, the commentators, the advertisers, basically everybody. Anytime they get a mic, they have to be wondering where John Cena is.
Now, are they doing that just to make sure that nobody forgets Superman?
No, it's just so he never leaves his spotlight.
Oh.
Just God forbid everybody else get a chance in the fucking thing.
Okay. So, well, you know, taking a look at it, we got Hell in a Cell coming up. If you're WWE, do you hold him out of it?
Probably. I'd say probably, but, you know, it's John Cena. He'll probably be back in like 3 weeks. And...
Okay. Well, let's just play the devil's advocate here, and they're going to take your advice, because we all know WWE listens to us, and they're going to hold Cena out of Hell in a Cell. And this is your chance to get the spotlight off John for a second there, Mason Omega. Who are you going to elevate into the title picture to face CM Punk?
Trying to think of other credible faces.
Like who on Raw you put into that position, or will you have to go and would you have to go and grab somebody from SmackDown?
I'm honestly not sure what you do in that situation, because there's just really no one who's properly built up right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can't even get someone from SmackDown. They have built themselves into a position where if John Cena gets injured like he has, they have no backup plan.
Yeah, this is the same problem we've complained about for years now with the WWE, is just their lack of foresight and their own planning for the future being non-existent.
And not realizing that John Cena can actually get injured for any length of time. But really, you know, you think about it, I can't really think of anybody on Raw who is, you know, by hook or by crook, really ready to be elevated.
The only people you like, the only options you have are holding the tag team championships right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because Kane is one of those guys, you can put him in a world title match anytime you need something. Anytime someone's injured, anytime someone's off filming a move.
Yeah.
It's reliable. Not when he's in the middle of what is the best feud on TV right now, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about Big Show? Drew Sigurd in the chat room was mentioning that. Is he in any kind of a program at the moment?
He's been non-existent for the last month.
No. Kind of like me, so. Could he be brought in to replace Cena at least temporarily?
Nope.
No, you couldn't get away with it because you've got, you're still pushing him as a major heel. And after the heel run he had, he hasn't been gone long enough for the fans to go, oh, it's Big Show, we haven't seen him in a long time, I'm really excited, I'm gonna cheer him anyway.
Okay.
We still know he's a complete asshole.
Yeah, you can't really push Ziggler because he's got his own program going on SmackDown. King Kitten in the chat room is saying push Ziggler.
Well, Ziggler, we know, yeah, he's the push. There was a rumor out that they even thought of switching him to face because fans have been cheering for him so much lately. Mm-hmm. But his Money in the Bank is strictly for SmackDown, which is something they wrote in this year. Mm-hmm. So that's not an option either.
Mm-hmm. So, well, what about, you mentioned Kane. Is there any way of actually bringing both Kane and Daniel Bryan into this picture and have them continue their odd couple feud thing going on?
As long as they're holding the tag belts, no. I mean, if you could make this, if you could somehow make this a three-way after the tag team is done, then yes, it'd be a good way of continuing it. Right now, they just won the tag championships, and right now that's the focal point of the partnership.
Okay.
So at this point, no, you'd be killing the best thing you've got going a little bit prematurely.
Okay. Well, as far as having just won the tag titles, do you see WWE maybe in a continuation of the storyline between the two of them anytime soon, like putting the belts on somebody else and having that add to the feud, you know, the love-hate between these two? It's a thought.
Once again, destroying the best thing you have going on your television show right now. Why would you want to do that?
Well, here it is. You know, we've wondered this before WWE has done such similar things. They are not, they're not above doing something like that if they think it benefits an angle or a storyline or, replacement for a wrestler injured or fired. They have done it before.
The sounds of your stupidity make my brain hurt, Tim.
It's not my stupidity. I'm just I'm pointing out what WWE has done that people seem to conveniently ignore, except for when they wind up doing it again and then everybody bitches about it. Why not just bring it up and bitch about it in advance, just in case? Be prepared.
In a fickle world, it's the 2000, but it was still, well, you know, we had a lot of distraction, a lot of opportunities for entertainment. Cable's 900 channels still back then.
Oh, here we
Is
go.
Is that too long to keep people off TV? Absolutely. The thing with me is like, and this is going to sound so ridiculous, but every story and every week and every television episode needs to start with logic. You know, what is the next logical step? And it's almost, I almost laugh saying that because what is logic in a fake business? Jeff Jarrett used to tell me that all the time because I used to always hit Jeff with that, with the logic. And he goes, what logic do you want? This is a fake business. I'm like, I understand that. But logically, these characters would act a certain way. Right. That's what I'm talking about. So definitely there, it logically should have played out that following week.
For those of you who...
That was Vince Russo talking logic.
Yeah, I was just about to say, for those of you who don't know, yes, that was Vince Russo. Vince Russo, Mace, logic, Vince Russo, same sentence, yes, no?
Sense, motherfucker, he still don't make it.
There you go. Logic, do you understand it? To paraphrase. Yeah, so Vince Russo was talking about logic, and let's face it, it's not us bitching about anything he writes. It's a simple fact that he apparently doesn't practice what he just preached there.
No, no. The scary thing about Vince Russo is, in his head, what he does is logical.
Rather circular.
It's just disturbing to realize what goes through his head sometimes.
Yeah, I'm still stuck on Vince Russo using the word logic and actually thinking that he makes it. That's weird. Okay. Well, moving on to the next topic here, after listening to all of that, how would you shake up the WWE main event title picture? What would you do to change things around?
Mace? You wanna field that first?
I've got nothing, because frankly, they've botched their entire company so much that you can't elevate anybody into a main event scene without it making people go, that doesn't make any sense.
Okay, yeah. Well, we're talking about... Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to add, outside of Ziggler and maybe Cody Rhodes, everyone else seems to be at least a year's worth of work to really get over as someone who could be in the main event.
Okay. Well, now, talking about shaking it up, of course, now, throw everything current out the window and... If you could make it work, you know, like Russo says, logically.
If we could wave a magic wand and reset everything, not only would we be doing Russo circa 2000 and then see the company crumble like a piece of shit. That's the thing. Omega got it right. Most of you guys are at least a year plus away from even having the notability to get moved up into the main event scene. Even if you do a complete reset.
I think the big problem right now is WWE is systematically removing the things that used to be the benchmarks, that used to elevate people to that point. Right now you've got maybe the Royal Rumble and that's about it. You lost your King of the Ring. You don't see the traditional Survivor Series style match anymore where you know, that young gun just helped the big team win, or in the case of like Rocky Maivia, won it on his own. Really, you need something new, or you need to revive something.
They need something to make us care. Like, that's why we're having so much trouble with this idea, is because we can't find anybody worth giving a shit about.
Well, everyone is potentially one thing away from being taken seriously as a major talent. You know, we know people on the roster. You know, we've seen people come and go in the WWE. We've seen people on the roster before where they had tremendous potential, and the only thing they missed was that one moment that set them apart. It's like the thing we kept waiting for guys like John Morrison, who was incredible in the ring, but never quite got that one thing he needed to get any farther than the mid card. And it's something we're waiting on for Cody Rhodes right now. And almost in a way, Dolph Ziggler, especially the way they're burying him right now.
Yeah, it used to be once upon a time that as a guy was coming up through the ranks, the thing that would make them break through would be they would get a chance against one of the top guys and win. And that made them pop up on the radar. These days, everything's so sectioned, and it's hard for a guy to break through anymore.
Class warfare in the WWE.
Well, is there anybody on the Raw roster right now that you could actually give that backing to bring them up? Like, who would it be that you would focus on bringing up through the ranks right now on Raw?
On Raw? Nobody.
It's basically the top four that are there, and then everybody else is mid-card or lower, is what you're saying then.
In a manner, yes. I could also be saying that everything's so fucking sectioned that they haven't got anybody in the wings that plagues my interest.
Okay.
Yeah, the hard part is even the guys in on Raw who are popular are guys that you wouldn't take seriously or would need a lot of work to take seriously. You know, like your most popular mid-carder right now, Zack Ryder. But I can't see, you know, without a major bit of maturing in the part of his character, I cannot see him anywhere close to the top card. You've got guys like R-Truth and Kofi that flirted with it for a time, but they would need work too. You've got guys like The Miz who was there, but you'd need, you know, but right now they kind of need faces and you'd have to turn them. Like I said, everyone is just so far off right now. They need so much work and there aren't any stepping stones anymore. Like, I got to thinking the other day, if WWE could go back and do and start doing King of the Ring again and do it right. Like, cause it used to be the big deal about King of the Ring was it was all one night. You know, the guy who was the King of the Ring wrestled and won 3 matches in one night. That was what made it a big deal when he won. Not this, you know, not this, we'll hold the quarterfinals on Raw and just get get 3 matches for the pay-per-view. So I was trying to figure it out, and I had this idea that I really, really liked, where you hold the King of the Ring the old school way. All the matches take place on the same night, but for the modern audience and for the sake of, you know, okay, Cena has to have a match. You start the night off with lumberjack match. First 2 guys and then the rest of the 6 in the King of the Ring. So, okay, it's, you know, Cody Rhodes and Zack Ryder, whatever. And okay, good, you know, quick 5-6 minute match. Cody goes over, they roll out and turn into lumberjacks, and then 2 more, you know, Big Show and Kofi or something, roll right in and keep going.
Mm-hmm.
So you square off about 20 minutes, 4 matches in a row. The audience thinks they got a great deal. The first round is done real quick in the time that a normal opener would be. And that's, you do the same thing for the mid, and then you do the same thing at the end. And then you have like the main event is like the semi-main for the finals.
Okay.
And you build up a stepping stone again.
That sounds logical to me. That means we'd actually have more invested in the guy who wins at the end of the night because he has earned that spot.
Right. That was the whole idea of a one-man tournament to begin with.
You think about how that one launched Austin's career.
Yeah. Well, like I said, that used to be the stepping stone, the one night tournament, and the winner was, you know, someone like, you know, Austin, you know, who went huge after King of the Ring. Bret took off after King of the Ring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay, it didn't work out so well for Mabel and Billy Gunn. Okay. Couple flukes. But done right, it has a really good chance to actually be something. And you desperately need it because winning one ladder match ain't exactly the stepping stone, especially when you do it so often.
Definitely the way you put all of that together would make me, it would definitely intrigue me and keep me tuned in.
And the other thing to add to it, don't turn the King of the Ring into a stupid gimmick like King Booker.
King Sheamus, good lord.
Yeah, I agree with that one.
It worked for Macho.
Well, yeah, but Macho was on a whole different level, I think. He
well,
made
he's
it
regal
work.
Because he's British.
Well, it just fit that.
There are some guys who can carry that, you know, I'm a king gimmick a lot better than others.
Yeah.
And to be honest, in today's wrestling environment, I don't think anybody could really pull off that regal thing, except for maybe Damian Sandow.
Yeah, Damian Sandow might carry the King gimmick fairly well. It always seems to work out better for the people who say, fuck the King gimmick. I just beat the entire mid-card tonight. I'm unbeatable. And just went on about his day.
And then usually after the King of the Ring, you start seeing that guy being elevated to the point where he gets a title shot at SummerSlam.
Elevated?
What is that word?
Yeah, I know. It's that word that WWE doesn't like to use very often.
Australians with your weird English.
Yeah, it's Aussie slang. Elevated. Nobody knows what that means, Mace.
To promote.
To advance in rankings.
Just one hell of an interesting concept. So. Well, I don't know. There's a lot that WWE could do to make Raw a better overall program, especially with them going 3 hours. And I just get the sense and I get the feeling that they're trying to recapture something that they had before the Monday Night Wars really got into high gear. Because they had you know, a bit of a market with WWF.
You'd be talking about the time where the guys were allowed to have charisma and personality. Is that right?
No.
And everybody wasn't made out of the same cookie cutter mold?
Yeah, before the Attitude Era.
Yeah, when they had personality and charisma.
Yeah. And, you know, you get the idea they're trying to recapture some of that, but they're missing the key elements that made it good, which is basically
personality and charisma.
What I was saying.
Hey, they died them.
Out. Yeah, you know, before, like, when they had the goon. Yeah, thanks, Rock.
Is it so hard for you to say you're right, Mace, and just move the fuck on?
I did not so many fucking words.
Why are you using 25 words when 2 will do?
Why use 2 words when 25 will do?
Because then you're just wasting time. Now take us to break.
Yeah, you're right, Mace. We're going to break. Yeah, everybody else in WTR, Sunday Night Wars Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thanks for joining us. Tell everybody else that we're on the air and get active in the chat room. Everybody, we'll be back right after this. I think about why I'm alone by myself, no one else to explain. How far do I go? No one knows. If the end is so much better, why don't we just live forever? Don't tell.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is X-Pac. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
The franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday nights are about to be a little more impactful, especially when it comes to talking about my TNA. And no, I don't mean that TNA.
Beer! Money!
I mean TNA. You know, James Storm, Bobby Roode, Joseph Parks, Abyss's brother, and all the other stars of Impact Wrestling. Plus, everything else in the world of wrestling going on today. It's The Rack, Thursday nights at 11 p.m. Eastern, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, man. What's your name?
Hello, my name is Jimmy Pop, and I'm a dumb white guy.
Why are you sitting there all alone?
Been fresh than since 1983.
Well, that ain't good. You're kind of weird. You always sing everything you say?
Yeah, don't give a damn if you don't like me.
Hey, I didn't say anything like that. Man, in fact, I was going to ask if you want to do something if you're not too busy. What you doing around Wednesday, around 8:30?
Eat Spam from the can. Watch late night C-SPAN. And rock out to old school Duran Duran.
Well, I know this awesome wrestling show on wildtalkradio.com. Just another goddamn wrestling show with Jed Schaefer and Scott Barry in the Cheapwood paneling. They talk about all the wrestling news of the week. Want to listen in? Maybe even call in?
Hell yeah!
Cool. Now, stop looking at me that way.
You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals, so let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel.
Yeah, I don't roll that way. But there is this guy on the show. His name's Joey Gay.
It started as a ride on the short bus.
Today on, well, yeah, right now on subject of matter is, as McConnell liked to say, bitches. Bitches.
And it's turned into the worldwide phenomenon known as your only excuse to be home on a Saturday night.
If I can find out how to record shit on my phone while I'm in the middle of plowing, I'll just say, yay, listen to CB Radio.
On October 20th, the biggest milestone since the night Big Daddy Ace threw up on the air is reached.
You know, it sucks. I want to throw up, but I don't think I can. Keep in mind, well, this is all for you.
It's the 250th episode of CB Radio.
Let's look out. Do I see my shadow? Oh, look, it's 4 billion years of awesome radio.
Join us for all the weird.
The plan is that now you're getting dragged into it. You and Rob are going to come up to my place in North Carolina, and we're going to have one big drunken episode.
Whoa, we don't swing that way, dude.
Not like that.
No spooning involved.
We're all wearing shoes, jackass.
Yeah, that's what she said.
Wacky.
So, shouldn't, midget porn be half off?
You know, actually, they say it's double.
Yeah, that's an exotic right there. I have to
argue with that, though. I'm like, well, he's only half a woman, though. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, you can fit more midgets on a string than you can full-grown people.
And the unusual.
And apparently nudity is allowed if you're a female, so we don't want any male genitalia.
But it took me a long time to actually paint your face. That's part of the cost, is the role play.
Oh, right.
Batman and the Joker, I still can't get the green paint out of my snatch.
For the 250th episode of CB Radio, Saturday night, October 20th, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Cigarette Butts and Bandanas with Big Daddy's, Sir Rockin', Subway was on, Rob Puck was on, DP was on for a little bit, William McConnell was here for a short while, then he decided to fucking... You know what? Me and Rob Puck, we're all hammered. Thank you guys for listening. Have a good night, ladies and gentlemen. Peace out, bitch asses.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, the whole fucking show, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network, boo.
Welcome back, WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Jumping right back into things. Apparently, Beth Phoenix gave her notice to the company and is going to be leaving WWE in the next month. Now, how big of a loss is this for WWE with the Diva Division?
What Diva Division?
There you go.
Okay. It's hard to lose something from something that doesn't exist.
Okay.
I mean, they do lose their, they lose their powerhouse, so I guess hopefully Natalia will actually get used now.
No. So, her leaving the way she is that really any kind of loss at all? The way that they are running this Divas division in WWE?
Of course it's a loss, because she's one of the few credible wrestlers they actually have. Okay, if you're looking at, if the Divas division is fine, if you continue to look at it as a bunch of models pretending they know how to wrestle, and are just really glorified ways of showing jiggling tits on PGTV. But as an actual wrestling roster, yeah, they lost about, I know, a third of their talent at best. There's another host, you can throw it to him, you know.
Well, I was just waiting for everybody to chime in when they had something to talk about.
I went and got a drink.
There you go.
So what the fuck are we talking about? Because I came back to hearing Omega talking about something.
Well, what do you think about Beth Phoenix leaving the company sometime in October? How devastating is this, really?
Honestly, not very. No, with the amount that she's been used on television over the last 2 years, and how she's tried really hard, especially her and Natalia trying so hard to sort of revamp their gimmick to something more diva-ish and, you know, still trying to wrestle at the same time.
Yeah.
She's better off not being with the company.
Okay.
She's better off seeing if there are better options out there.
Well, what do you think the chances are she might wind up in TNA at some point down the road? Would that be a better option for her?
Not at the moment.
Oh.
She'd be better off on the indie scene. Because TNA's knockout division is sweet fuck and all, and is actually smaller than Divas division.
Yeah, it's been somewhat decimated in the last year and a half, hasn't it been?
Yes.
So. Yeah. Now, if you're WWE, would you go to, any kind of links at all to get her to re-sign, or just, like, say, you know, see you later, good, best of luck in your future endeavors?
See ya, bye-bye.
And just because, basically, the way they've used her in the last 2 years, there's no real reason to try to keep her for any reason at all.
Well, it's not so much that, it's just that they don't give a flying fuck about the Divas division.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, your diva leaves, who cares?
Now, I guess this kind of sort of reflects on Triple H and his, I guess the word might be disdain for the women's division, would you think?
Unless it's his wife that's got the title, he didn't give a shit.
Okay. So, Beth Phoenix, have a good time. Apparently she's dating Edge. Did you guys know that?
No.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Yay for her, but watch your back, because I'm quite sure Lindsay's probably on her way up to kill Beth right now.
and be careful, because you know where Edge has been.
Yeah, true.
I'm quite sure Edge has like a gigantic box of disinfectant next to the bed.
You would hope so, at the very least.
Oh, I would hope.
Yeah, instead of investing in condoms with the spermicide, you want to get it with the fungicide.
And a hazmat suit.
Shit, I think you want that shit lead lined.
Any chance he's got one of those special UV rays that's supposed to kill, like, viruses and bacteria and stuff? That's just wrong on so many levels. Yeah, I just found out the other day that the two of them are seeing each other. I don't know how serious it is or anything like that, but I was mildly surprised.
Good for you.
So,
it was really random, though.
Kind of. Just the tiniest little bit. But seeing as we're talking about Edge, shouldn't we talk about his appearing on WWE TV last week and have a... basically a hugathon with the Anger Buddies.
You mean that Edge appearing on SmackDown to promote the TV show that he's on to get a quick plug?
Yeah, that's the win.
I like that they did actually admit, that pre-warning, we're about to be cheap whores.
Yeah, that's nothing new.
I prefer when they acknowledge it. I like my BS right up front where I can see it.
You want to know when the BS is coming instead of being blindsided by it?
Well, that we're having to pretend that, we just happen to promote this or that at this particular time. It has nothing to do with, anything going on, but we're going to make believe it had a perfectly good place here.
Yeah. Plus, you got to remember, Omega and I are children of the 80s. We are used to our 30-minute toy commercials. We grew up with our toy commercials as our favorite cartoon shows. We're used to bullshit being right there in front of us saying, buy our shit!
We're only here so you spend money, kids.
Pretty much.
Got it. Okay. So, as far as the Anger Buddies go, what are your thoughts on the latest happenings with Kane and Daniel Bryan?
Awesome.
Whoever's writing these segments, do the whole show.
Or at least give them a pay raise.
It is some of the most hysterical and entertaining TV WWE's put on in a long time.
I am the tag team champions.
Just watching Kane do an awkward hug is hilarious.
There's just something not right about seeing that. Really, seriously. You got the big red machine, Edge spelled it out perfectly. Talking about the feud that those two had over, how Edge stole his wife and how he ruined his marriage to his ex-wife by choke slamming the priest.
Yeah. It was tombstoning the priest.
Oh, tombstoning. Okay.
I do love how they spelled. I love how they spelled that out. It's like I forced you to shove your own father off of a scaffolding. Yeah, I know, but come here. I'm a big group hug.
I'm sorry, Rock. You have to put that in the fucking chat room. Let the chatters see that. That was pricelessly good.
That's a good one.
You just throw it up on the new blog TV player. That was
indeed quite.
They're gonna need much wider arms for that group.
That's a hell of a group. Oh damn! So getting back to what we were talking about. What's the longevity of this thing with Kane and Daniel Bryan? Like, does this have legs, this angle that they're playing out, or what?
This has a couple of months running time, minimum.
Yeah. It depends on how many more ways they can find to mix it up.
Well, now wait, Mace, you said minimum, so you can see this going longer than that?
If done right, I could see this going to, the Royal Rumble, and then watching it disintegrate leading into a match at WrestleMania.
Okay, that makes
me
curious.
That will last more than 18 seconds.
That makes me curious. I would like to know, in your opinion, what the next step in this angle could possibly be to help further it.
The only other thing that I could think of would be adding AJ to the mix. Getting her back involved in it, especially with the way she's been acting on Raw, especially last week where she went, pretty much fucking apeshit crazy.
Now, I missed it because I...
Screaming. She ended up yelling and screaming at Brian and Kane and to bring her into the anger management thing would be a good way to extend that out a bit. Because then they can have, Daniel or Kane mentoring her to try and get her to be calmer. and just, you know, a nicer, like, get it back to this, like, I could, as stupid as this would be, I could just imagine the three of them skipping down to the ring together.
Oh God.
Like, it's stupid as fuck, and yes, it will destroy Kane's credibility forever, but,
like him calling, fans his Canaanites? Didn't hurt his credibility.
No, a religious reference. Who cares? as long as he's not insulting the Muslims, then he's fine. He can get away with whatever he likes. Yeah, 17 deaths over a fan-made video. What a bunch of retards. But yeah, like, I could see adding AJ in the mix as a good way to extend this out. Like, I just want some more, like, I want to see more of their anger management classes. I want to see them actually go to Disneyland. Like, there are so many ways that you could put some of the goofiest fucking shit on television with it, and it'll work. Because it's Kane. Those.
God.
Yeah, I'm just imagining them actually doing segments filmed at Disneyland for this.
Kane, why are the teacups on fire?
Daniel, leave Mickey Mouse alone. Don't put him in the S-lock. Kane, why are you setting up a home in the Haunted Mansion?
Daniel, Brian, and Goofy going back and forth about who looks more like a goat face.
No, I believe we actually came up with the ultimate one for this, and yet again, it'll involve AJ. They come out of the It's a Small World ride. AJ skips out all happy and everything, and you just see Kane and Daniel walking behind her, like, arms up to their chest going, scary shit, it's a small world.
It's just having those little fucking animatronic robots singing the song and having Kane flip out.
Just them in absolute shock. Like, the small world even shook Kane to his core.
Yeah. And if you really want to sort of put a last minute laugh on the end of it, you have Kane walk out with one of the dolls and he breaks the head off and throws it away.
Or have him pull a little bit of Mice and Men. Have him grab the doll and hug it out with the doll until the doll actually just totally, completely destructs.
Only if Kane does it, and he tries to put, like, a replica of his mask on the doll.
I can just see Daniel Bryan yelling at those little animatronic things while they're singing It's a Small World.
I can see that, sir.
They're not making fun of your height, Daniel.
But some of the ideas that you could have with that.
See, we should just get something together where we just start writing down ideas and let's, you know, send in your best ideas. We'll send them to WWE.
Or we'll read them on the air to copy everything else anyway.
Yeah, it seems like it sometimes, eh? Put all three of them on the Matterhorn. Which one of the three throws up?
I'm familiar with how the Matterhorn works, so I don't know.
Like a roller.
The closest thing I ever get to Disneyland rides is like watching YouTube videos.
You know, I got this image of WWE rehiring Ric Flair just so he can tell Kane and Daniel Bryan he's going to take them to Space Mountain.
And actually, literally, physically.
Space Mountain.
Oh, brother.
You put Kane in the Hall of Presidents and he starts choke-slamming all the robots.
Well, Abe Lincoln was a wrestler in school, in college. It might be a little bit subtle if he did anything with the Abe Lincoln robot, though.
Yeah.
I chuckle.
See, I could also see them going to Universal Studios as well.
Now, what's Universal Studios?
Well, you have Daniel Bryan yelling at King Kong. Kane punches Jaws.
Now, that's something I would like to see. Kane punches a shark.
They just walk by the building that TNA films in going, what's in there? It's just in some old warehouse.
And just, oh, nothing. Don't worry about it. Move on. Do we have to take a look at this link that we have in our show notes here about the tag teams, 50 top tag teams in WWE history?
We're being told yes.
Nope. Cheat sheet.
Ah. Cheat sheets are good.
Cheat sheets are fantastic.
In other words, somebody went to the effort of putting the list up for us instead of having to click through one page at a time per tag team.
Oh, God, I hated that. That really got on my nerves.
Very annoying. So, taking a look at this page here, there's a couple of, right off the top, you know, without even examining it, there are a couple of names, a couple of teams on here I see that shouldn't be on here.
Like Cool.
Jericho.
Moondogs. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Chris Jericho and Big Show, they weren't, you know, sure, they were together as a tag team, but come on. And they have them at number 39 ahead of the Steiners.
Yeah, I was about to say, why the fuck are the Steiners at 41?
The Steiners should be in the top 25, I think.
Yeah, no easily. Shit. I mean, why the hell are the Brothers of Destruction at 32?
Why is the Rock and Sock Connection at 31? Why the hell are Kane and X-Pac at 23? Why are they even on this list?
They shouldn't be. And what about Legacy, DiBiase Jr. and Cody Rhodes? Should they be on this list?
Technically, that wasn't even a... Technically, that's not a tag team, because it's a faction with Orton.
That became a tag team once Orton left, but they shouldn't even be that high. They should be a lot lower.
Yeah, way lower than that. Certainly not above... Haas and Benjamin.
Well, if you look at the top 10, we've got the Dudley Boys at 10, followed by the Wild Samoans. Legion of Doom comes in at number 8. The Valiant Brothers
what
are number
fuck?
7. Hang on, let me finish.
No!
What?
Legion of Doom at 8, what the fuck? No,
shit,
wrong,
shit,
bad.
You, buddy.
Yeah,
Cornette well, face, is... fuck this shit. No, list invalid.
This is my point. At number 6 is the British Bulldogs. The Hardy Boys are at 5. New Age Outlaws at 4. Demolition at number 3. The Hart Foundation, Bret Hart and Jim Neidhart version, at number 2. Edge and Christian, number 1. What the fuck?
Bullshit!
Fix the top 10 for me, Mace.
Please refer to our greatest tag team of all time, Great Debate. We did it right. God damn it.
Yeah, just pretty much look at our semifinals. There's 8 of them right there.
8 of the 10, yeah. But
who the fuck put Legion of Doom that low?
Okay, let me ask you. Axe Smash, Demolition, do they belong higher than Legion of Doom?
No.
No.
I mean, don't get me wrong, they're great guys, and I had a great time with them up in Edmonton for the RCW show that they were at. I think it was, when was that? August last year? Or either August or November, something like that, I can't remember. But they're great guys, but I don't see them higher than a few of the names listed in the top 10.
Stupid!
Who should be number 1? Who did we pick?
Legion of Doom.
Who should be number 2? Who did we pick?
Can't remember.
Me neither.
All I remember is Legion of Doom 1, and that's all I gave a shit about.
There you go. But that just proves the point that nobody remembers second place.
Still looking.
So nobody remembers Bret Hart and Jim Neidhart? That's by your logic, Tim.
Hey, you know, you guys are probably going to have your jaws hit the floor or something like this when I say this, but I don't think the Hart Foundation should be at number 2.
No shit, they should be somewhere down past 20.
Well, in the top 20.
No.
Below 20. Somewhere below between 20 and 30.
Where the fuck are the Nasty Boys on this list at all, let alone number 20?
Yeah, Sags and Knobs, no.
No.
They should be under 40. They should be like the first, one of the first. Like even the Bushwhackers have more, should deserve more fucking respect than number 50.
Yeah, they wrestled Urkel.
Exactly.
Morrison and the Miz at number 17. Really?
Let's not try that. Like Hogan and Savage at 49. Yeah, that's a good. That's just there to piss on Hulk Hogan.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
If you wanted to really piss on Hulk Hogan, would you not leave his name off this list?
They said that Paul London and Brian Kendrick was a better tag team than Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage. That, I think, is pissing on him worse than just leaving them off.
Well, yeah, okay. Or Lay Cool at number 36 ahead of him.
They shouldn't even be on the fucking list.
Billy and Chuck are at number 40.
They deserved higher.
Oh, I'm surprised they weren't. I'm just surprised that Billy and Chuck weren't number 69.
Why the fuck are Volkoff and Sheik at 35? They deserve more respect, goddammit.
Jesus Christ.
God, who was drunk when they made this list?
Seriously, who did make this stupid list?
I have no fucking idea, but they need to be fired.
WWE put this list together. So, I'm sorry, to me, that just screams bias.
Oh yeah, well, you can tell, okay, yeah, the Mega Powers being that low and Edge and Christian that high, you can tell a lot, you know, not that they don't deserve to be high up, but not number one. You can tell there's a lot of, okay, we want to piss on these guys, and then there's a lot of history rewriting, a lot of political playing in this list. It is a bullshit list up and down.
It's complete bullshit. You know, the one team that I don't see on here that I think should be in the top 50 is Harlem Heat.
This was a WWE tag team history.
Well, fine. I still say they belong on the list.
It's still bullshit. Fuck them.
Yeah, this is a complete bullshit list.
But then again, it is WWE. Like, I actually know what tag team wrestling is.
Well, here it is. Okay, this list has now been invalidated by smarter people than who put them together, namely us. How's that for egotistical?
Whatever. Let's move on before I like have an aneurysm.
It's not egotistical. Yeah. It's factical.
Factical. There you go. So, yeah, once again, it's in the archives. We did the greatest tag teams of all time. Guys, check it out. It's the Great Debate. It's in the archive someplace. I forget.
I believe it was a great debate we had before the one that we started 6 months ago.
Yeah, that was the first epic one we did, wasn't it?
Yeah. Here we go. Great Debate semifinals: Road Warriors and versus the Dudleys, Outsiders versus the Steiners. That's what our final four were.
And it wound up the Road Warriors versus the Outsiders.
Okay, yeah. One of our tag teams was invalid for this list.
But even when you look at it, three out of our four are teams that made it into the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
Well, two of them made it in the top 10, one barely made it out the fucking blocks. Can we go on to the other stupidity of booking by WWE?
I was just about to bring up the fact that I think we'll take our next break of the evening. Everybody listen to WTR, Sunday Night Roast Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We're taking our second time out of the night. Coming up after this, we still have the WTR Roundtable, Buy and Sell, The Great Debate, and, of course, Quick Hits, along with more John Cena talk. We'll be back right after this.
Away. I'm just a breath away, losing my faith today. I am just a man, not superhuman.
I'm not superhuman.
Someone save me from the hate. It's just another war, just another family torn. Just a step on the edge, just another day in the world.
On August 20th, Daniel Bryan was ordered to attend anger management. That request came from the woman who left him at the altar and his boss.
The psychologist may have deemed you sane, but that doesn't...
doesn't change the fact that you have definite anger management issues.
Maybe it has something to do with the fact that you left me at the altar.
Deep down, he knew she was crazy. But he also knew that if he didn't, someday, she would seek vengeance on him. With no other choice, he attended anger management. But unbeknownst to him, he wasn't alone. His longtime rival, Kane, was also sent to anger management.
No! You got to be kidding. You see, Harold, this is what I deal with on a daily basis. This is what I'm talking about.
Can these two former lovers of AJ Lee manage to get along and one day become the greatest tag team of all time without driving each other crazy?
I want to be the next tag team champion.
I want to be the next tag team champion.
I want to be the next tag team champion.
I want to be the next
champion.
Gentlemen, I see you both have balls.
Mine's bigger than yours.
No! 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 No!
Every Saturday night, you never know what to expect when Cigarette Butts and Bandanas hit the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ha ha! Is that Shell Station open? Ha ha ha! Daddy might have himself some cig. I just gotta cross a fucking freeway that would kill me. Eight fucking lanes. Dude, the Godfather of me retired. He just fucking loses the match and keeps on ticking. Fucking 8 lanes, the motherfucking highway! Alright, if this place is closed, I'm gonna kill somebody. Yeah, this place looks like I might get robbed by a guy of slightly darker complexion than I am.
Do you have to run back across the highway?
Yeah, I know. I gotta run across fucking 3 lanes of highway now. God damn it. The bad thing is, I probably don't have $7 in my fucking name, so I'm gonna have to use my damn credit card or my debit card as a fucking way to pay for $7. Fuck, it fucking better be open. I fucking walked across 13 lanes of highway.
They're not open.
What the fuck? Are you sure you're not open?
Can I get a pack of Camel
Light? Hell yeah. Oh my god. Alright. Safe now. People aren't dying yet.
You ready, Rob? Now you gotta run again.
I do, because actually the fucking light's green, no one's coming, no one's turning, and I gotta go. I should have just crossed the other street, because now I gotta cross another street.
Steve,
man, somebody give me a goddamn... Ah, fucking Sunday, you can't buy beer. Wait a minute, what time is it?
It's 12:30.
I'm a goo. Ah, forget about it. Get it? All right, I'll just smoke my cigarette and be fucking happy. Oh, no, that's fucking just perfect. Green light just came on this fucking... about to get wild by fucking 18-wheelers and a fucking Jeep Wrangler. Fuck me, man. I gotta light a cigarette for this run.
Whether you are a badass, a godfather, or anything in between, the answer is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas live midnight, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
So now you get to enjoy that nicotine, huh?
Yeah.
Has your weekly Monday Night Wrestling fix gone off the air? Don't fret. All you need to do is change the channel to the WTR Raw Post Show.
I'm sorry that I came out here last week and ruined your family portrait, made out with your daughter, implied that you had sex with a bunch of fat, hairy old men, then poured beer on your unconscious body with your illegitimate bastard midget son. My bad.
Tune in every Monday night at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time as we break down everything that goes down on WWE Monday Night Raw.
What's up, Holmes? The champ is here.
Interact with us live every Monday night for the WTR Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Peace out, my brothers.
This is Showtime Eric Young, host of Off the Hook Extreme Catches, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
And welcome back, WTR, Sunday Night Rough Talk Radio right here, Wild Talk Radio Network. Once again, everybody, thanks for joining us. And moving right along, said we'd talk a little bit more about John Cena. Well, what if John Cena reformed the NWO? Now, everybody, if you go to WWE.com/classics/classic factions reborn, you'll see something that they have up there where they're talking about NWO being reformed by John Cena. Who would be today's Four Horsemen? What if The Undertaker revived his reign of evil with the ministry? So, Omega, Mace, what if John Cena did go NWO?
Oh, I thought we were going to go through them, but okay, fine. We're going to jump straight to John Cena then. Because, you know, God forbid we focus on anybody fucking else.
You know how the game's played.
Yeah, I know. I prefer the games we play when Tim's not here. All right, first, let's look at the lineup. Cena, Michael Cole, Christian, Randy Orton, Big Show, Otunga, and is that Brian McGillicuddy? What's his name?
Yeah.
Yeah, this Mr. Yeah, Michael McGillicuddy, Mr. fucking nobody.
Yeah, Mr. Michael, don't call me Hannig McGillicuddy.
Yeah. Fuck no, fail, bad, horrible idea, because basically it's putting together the junk that's left over. It wouldn't make any impact whatsoever.
We've kind of spoken at length before that John Cena desperately needs something akin to a major heel, you know, just a major heel switch here. But no, every time this seems to come up, like, you know, we never really mention anything like forming a faction. John Cena doesn't seem like the leader type. That said, like I wouldn't be against him forming something like an NWO style group, if only because, you know, he desperately needs to do anything else. You know, I don't want it to be the NWO, because we've been down that road way more times than necessary, but I can't really argue against, you know, the idea of John Cena starting up a feud if it means he will be actually doing something.
Mm-hmm.
But let's keep it in what they're saying with this article. The only reason they're playing John Cena goes heel in this is that they're trying to recapture what happened with Hulk Hogan when he turned in 96.
Yeah.
I don't think Cena is of that ilk. You gotta remember, Hogan was a household name. Basically, you say the word wrestling, the first person in anybody's head, even today, is still Hulk Hogan. That's why the heel turn was absolutely mind-blowing. Because it was 20-odd years of Hogan being the biggest name in the business, being the, you know, say your prayers, eat your vitamins, and all that other bullshit, and then turns his back on everything and everyone. Cena, as much as, yes, he could pull off a heel turn, and I wish he fucking would, become selfish, fine, that's great. But let's not hold it up to that type of impact. It's not something that you're going to be looking, if Cena turns heel, you know, in the same type of fashion Hogan did, you're not going to remember it, you know, 15 years down the track. I just don't think he has that deep of an impact on the wrestling world with a heel turn. Like, in that style. Yeah, I know, it's sort of weird. Like, yeah, I want him to go heel. I just don't want him to try and be doing it for, oh my god, just let's compare him even more to Hulk Hogan. I want him to have his own reasoning, and I want him to have it happen in his own way that sets him apart from other people turning heel.
Well, having looked at John Cena and the NWO, why don't we take a look at something that I wouldn't really have too much of a problem seeing the return of, would be the Dangerous Alliance. Led, of course, by Paul Heyman.
And, of course, with that lineup being obviously Heyman, Lesnar, Miz, Drew McIntyre, Eve for some goddamn reason, and I don't know who this other guy is. Like, there's seriously something wrong with the way they've done this. They've pulled one guy out of nowhere that's like, I don't know who the fuck he is. There's A-Roy.
Alex Riley.
Fucking hell. Remember when
I'm looking at A-Roy and he's got this big ass cheesy grin on his face and I'm like, what? Who?
Okay. Remember when he was supposed to be a big deal someday?
Yeah. The thing is, I like that grouping and put Punk in his place.
Exactly. If you are going to put to get in there, especially.
Drop out and that stable is in.
Yeah. I don't know why you've got Eve in the Dangerous Alliance.
Random set of boobs. Because she's the evil female of the WWE at the moment.
Okay.
Manipulative and whatnot.
Well, I skipped one there. Let's go back and take a look at it. And that's, of course, the Million Dollar Corporation. Naturally, it's going to be led by Alberto Del Rio.
Naturally.
Yeah. But who else has he got in there?
Come on, he has to be a little bit more of a ripoff.
Well, we have Del Rio leading. Antonio Cesaro is also there. The Primetime Players, Jinder Mahal, and for some reason unknown to everybody with a brain, Brodus Clay.
Yeah, what's he doing there?
I have no fucking idea. But with the way it's going, they could also call that the Ethnic Squad.
They've got one Caucasian in there. I don't know. I'm still thinking that Brodus is like half and half, isn't he?
I have no idea. But drop Brodus from that group, and it is really well done.
Who do you throw in to replace Brodus?
You don't. You don't. You drop Brodus and just leave it at those five.
Well, what about Damian Sandow, as suggested by Cowboy Chick in the chat room?
No.
No?
No, Sandow, I reckon, works better on his own.
Okay.
He doesn't exactly need a group to get over. But, yeah, just drop Brodus from this group, and it's ready to roll.
Okay, what about the new Ministry of Darkness? Naturally, you've got the Brothers of Destruction.
Hey, how about you let Omega say something?
Sorry. Go ahead, Omega, you got
fucking
something
fucking asshole. No.
No, seriously, have you got any comments about it?
I know. I think Mace makes a pretty good point that you're putting all of the minorities in the same faction. It kind of highlights just how many times you go to that well.
Okay. Now, is there anything ironic about having the minorities in the Million Dollar Corporation? As opposed to the dudes with attitude? Or something?
There's got to be some better name for the group, though. I mean, there's a joke there, and it's just out of my reach right now.
You're grasping for it.
But the whole point of this is revival of old groups using new names. But yeah, there's definitely a joke in there somewhere, and we can't find it just yet. It'll come to us.
We'll get there before the show is done.
Yeah.
All right, let's now move to the next one and go to Omega with the Ministry of Darkness and the led by the Brothers of Destruction.
Which I, just in case, have you know who's in this, or should I?
No, got no clue.
All right, obviously, Undertaker, Kane, Tensai, Yoshitatsu, Mark Henry, and Oksana for some fucking reason.
Oksana, why Yoshitatsu, huh?
Yeah, the only real question I got is Yoshitatsu. He doesn't belong in the Ministry of Darkness. I think he's only there because of
Tensai. Actually, if you, and I'll actually send you guys the image. The image that they use for him has this weird half and half face paint, almost like a Muda style face paint.
They use that promo shot of him a lot. They just never, but he never comes out in that actual face paint.
But if he was to do something like that, I could see him fitting with the group.
If he was gonna, if he was going to go Great Muta, maybe. There's something about it, the idea of, there's something about the idea of Tensai and Henry kind of replacing the Acolytes that might actually work.
You can sort of feel it happening with that one. But yeah, I'm still having problems with, Yoshitatsu because all I see him is, as, you know, the glorified jobber from NXT.
Jobber from NXT, that's saying something.
Nothing flattering.
No.
So after that one, we can move on to the dudes with attitude. You've got Sheamus, Santino Marella, Kofi Kingston, R-Truth, the Great Khali, and Rey Mysterio. I don't just see a Mysterio here, really.
No, just no.
What, just Mace? What?
No. No, just no.
What?
Oh, I have no reasoning behind it, just fucking no.
Okay.
Bad idea, wrong group of people, really when we're trying to pull something out of the NWA days, you're reaching.
Yeah, you know, I could see all of these guys in a faction, but not with that name.
It's not dudes with attitudes, it's dudes with accents.
Here we go again. Mace, I'm starting to think the problem is with you.
The only one there that doesn't
have
an accent.
Put this shit together!
Yeah, the only one in the script that really does not have an accent would be R-Truth. Now, going on that, okay, then he doesn't fit with the club, with this group. Put Sin Cara in his place.
Sin Cara?
Why not?
With his new Facebook page at myspace.com/Sin Cara?
Yeah. He even botches social media. Oh my god. Yes, Omega, I stole your joke.
Fuck you.
Go ahead, say it.
No!
Cause I already did.
Ruined everything.
Okay, well, are you on the same page as Mace with just no for these guys, for this group?
I say I got busy, I didn't hear it.
You didn't hear it?
Sorry, I'm doing other things.
Not even gonna talk. It's just, I'm more
interested in listening to, I'm more interested in Rock's suggestion of a modern LWO.
Oh goodness. The modern LWO.
Isn't that just using 90% of the,
It's Del Rio, it's Primo and Epico.
Rey Mysterio is the reluctant member.
Sinkara.
Yeah, I could see that.
Okay, so the Flock, Raven's group, Raven's faction, Mace.
Here we go.
Led by CM Punk, got Caitlin in there, Tyson Kidd, the Wendy's guy.
Hello, Nexus.
Pretty much Nexus 2.0 with a couple of new
guys.
Yeah,
been there, done that, no Raven, no point, move on.
Yeah, what about me? What about CM Punk?
He's going to be dropped from that group and put in the Dangerous Alliance. I'm sorry, I just, it's as good as Punk is at the whole, you're brainwashing people to his will thing, we've already seen it done.
No.
So he's already did it with the SES, and that didn't work too well.
Yeah.
Punk's always better on his own than in a group.
Yeah. Yeah, we've already done NWO. The next page after this one, Omega, is the Four Horsemen. And we got Cody Rhodes, Dolph Ziggler, Daniel Bryan, and Wade Barrett as the Horsemen. Looking at these guys, two of them for sure, I could see as Horsemen. One of them is Ziggler, the other one's Barrett.
I wouldn't even attempt this. This is sacrilege. This is heresy. This is pissing on years of tradition. I'm sorry, you do not try to recreate the Four Horsemen.
No. Okay.
Unless it is endorsed by former members. They were the only ones who were allowed to pass down the torch. You do not remake them from scratch.
No, you should be able to get Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard, Barry Windham, and even J.J. Dillon to endorse them, but I don't know about Ric Flair. And I don't think that you could really have it 100% legitimate if Flair doesn't endorse him, could you?
Not really. Mm-hmm. Plus, you got to realize, Horseman's always been the component of... You have your leader, which has always been Flair.
Yep.
You have your big Basham tag team, which was the Andersons back in the day. Then you had your sort of Flair guy, which is always like the leftover odd man out. No. To me, if they were to try and do this, I'd just be sitting there going, nah, sacrilege. You do not do this.
Leave it alone and let it be the way it was.
Exactly. Do not destroy our nostalgia memories.
Omega, you agree or disagree, or thoughts or opinions?
It would have... The only way it works is if Flair puts the team together himself.
Okay, yeah.
And that's it.
So if Flair did put the team together, would you have a Rhodes in the Horsemen?
Actually, I would, because... I think that plays with a history.
And it gives them an instant sort of feud, if you will. Yeah. Especially if you want to leave Flair in as the manager, he takes the J.J. Dillon role, and you have Cody in the group. That's an instant, you know, Dusty suddenly pops up on the scene going, what the fuck are you doing, son?
Uh-huh.
What heel heat would that ring on if he's calling out his father for being a moron, for, you know, for going against the Horsemen?
That'd be one hell of a storyline, father versus son feud.
And it would also be something very credible to push Cody up in the ranks.
It would definitely help.
Hell, if anything, Cody would end up becoming the Ric Flair of the group. He'd become the leader role. No, which I'd buy that. I would definitely buy that, actually.
Well, definitely having some kind of conflict with his old man would definitely legitimize that. Definitely.
Yep.
So basically, that's a look at rebooting classic factions
with our own little bonus of the LWO.
Yeah, we added one. But that's a non-starter. I mean, doing the new LWO, that's too easy. Now, if we did it like WWE, who would you put in the LWO that just didn't really fit, didn't belong?
Sheamus.
That's not so overboard and a little more subtle.
Santino Marella.
Okay.
He's an American putting on an Italian accent who tries to put on a Mexican accent on top of that.
No, he's a Canadian. Actually, really? He's from Montreal. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, jeez.
But yeah, having him do the Italian accent doing the Mexican accent, just fitting in because, you know, like... God. Yeah, okay, that would be kind of funny. That would definitely provide some humor. But that being said, I think it's time we moved on to the round table.
This would be the round table. Anthony Dancy round table with no intro. Dun, 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 dun. With no intro. Dun, 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 dun.
All right, tonight's WTR round table brought to you by the producer, Rock, because he's the guy who thought this one up, because I had no clue what to talk about tonight. Would you bring back the Nexus to WWE? Go to Omega.
No.
Why not?
The only thing that was interesting about I'm not even gonna say interesting about the Nexus was the fact that you had an entire TV show to building them up in the first place.
Yeah.
I mean, I mean, that's the only reason the Nexus was really effective. But really, honestly, the team really didn't accomplish all that much. I mean, they were supposed to be like some type of like modern NWO style, you know, takeover group, but they really didn't succeed in that all that much. They had their feud with Cena, that broke down, actually that took way longer than it should have, what it did. But you had new members in and out all the time due to injuries. You had guys from season two from NXT joining up, which at that point was just predictable.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, it wasn't even that really good of a faction, just because they really didn't have any type of domination. I mean, aside from the occasional tag team championship, you had Wade Barrett as the leader, who was just as much a rookie as the rest of them. You knew he wasn't going to win a world title and actually claim any authority in the WWE.
Uh-huh.
No.
Yeah, so no, the short answer for you, Omega, is no. What about you, Mace?
No. They had their time. It's been done. Move on.
And they weren't really around long enough for them to be considered a classic.
Look, the only thing that the Nexus did that was of any note was get Daniel Bryan fired for choking out Justin Roberts with his own fucking necktie and then have him come back, you know, 8 months later.
Was it 8 months? I thought it was less than that.
It probably was less, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I think it was like 4.5 months. And we determined that was all a work or something like that. Yeah, okay, 2 months. We all determined that that was a really, really well done work by WWE.
Yes, very good.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm agreeing with you guys. You know, that's a waste of time. I didn't like them the first time through, and I wouldn't pay any, you know, I wouldn't waste time on them the second go round.
See, I kind of laugh at WWE because the whole reason this came up was because people were chanting, "We want Nexus" during, it was during Barrett's match because he was up against, Gabriel, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which would have been an NXT main event.
Would have been an NXT main event.
Yeah. So there's WTR Roundtable. Rock's favorite little thing that he likes to call buy and sell, guys. Are you ready for this?
I think we need a little question and answer time.
It's now time for this week's edition of Buy.
Yes! 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 Yes!
What's up?
No! 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 No!
I guess I have to talk now.
Yeah, this is your turn.
Damn it. Anyway, buy or sell Jinder Mahal, Drew McIntyre, and Heath Slater as a new stable on Friday Night SmackDown. Omega.
The fuck? sell. Cause this is what Mace was just talking about. Just the leftovers, the dregs of the mid-card just kinda lumped together just to make them do something. There's no cohesiveness. There's no rhyme or reason to it. It makes no sense in the least other than we're tired of being the jobbers.
Drew McIntyre put out on Twitter, we are damn sick of the same song and dance in WWE. If you feel the same and want a new track, then let's hear you scream for an hashtag encore. Mace.
Stupid fucking name.
They're trying to become some sort of band from what I've been hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Please tell me that doesn't mean Heath Slater's the leader.
Unfortunately, by the sounds of it, yes. Mind God. You, I just want to see their first single. I want to see. I want to see what is it going to be? Jinder Mahal playing the sitar? Is it going to be Drew McIntyre playing the bagpipes?
That is racist.
Damn right.
That's not racist. It's a cultural thing.
I'm getting them to play to their strengths. Sure, it's racist as fuck, but I don't give a shit. this is exactly what I was talking about. This is the dregs. This is giving people a group just to give them something to do to try and make them seem relevant when they don't mean anything.
Well, putting them together in a group, is that going to do anything for them or just
take
up time?
No, it's going to take up time on NXT or SmackDown or wherever we don't care that they are.
Drew McIntyre was handpicked by Vince McMahon as a future world champion, and that didn't do anything for him. You think teaming up with Wendy's is going to get it done?
Tim?
Sell. No.
Any reason why you want to say no?
It's a waste of time. These guys are all marginal players. It's just no, no, no.
Lindsay Ward says, I'll only buy it if Drew wears leather pants.
Okay, Lindsay Ward would buy anything with Drew in leather pants. Thanks, Omega. We were going to the same place at the same time.
Yeah, right, yeah. Oh, God, I'm not even going to finish that line. Just rock the clip.
Yeah, don't bother.
Buy or
sell. The last thing we need is for him to have more clip material than he already gets.
Buy or sell Eve Torres as someone you would build a WWE Divas division around, Tim.
Oh, fuck no. Eve Torres? Should be the last person I pick. Please. With Beth Phoenix leaving, you pick somebody who actually knows what they're doing, you know? And right now, aside from Natty, and no, I'm not being a homer, but I'm, you know, like straight up and honest, aside from Natty, how many other legitimate talents do they have who weren't runway models in a previous life? Seriously. So, Eve? No.
Mace.
Sold! Sell the shit! Give it away for free! It don't fucking work. How can you build a Divas division around one person when your Divas division only is one person?
So there.
Omega. Buy it. I dare you to buy it.
No. Daniel Bryan. No, 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 no.
Did he run? Did he run?
If your Divas division is going to be story-driven and, like, no fucking wrestling, then okay. Because right now the only thing the Divas are doing really well are the things that aren't happening in the ring. You got, okay, AJ. AJ, who's been gold the last few months. Eve, she's a conniving bitch, manipulative as hell. Okay, that actually works. Not in the ring, but anywhere else, fine.
Okay.
But if you're going to pretend they're wrestlers, no. Sell.
Buy or sell of the idea of splitting Oksana away from Antonio Cesaro. Mace.
Don't care.
It's not an option.
Splitting Oksana away from Antonio Cesaro. Buy, sell, roll around in $20 bills. I don't know. It's one of those non-anythings. It doesn't mean anything. Nobody cares. It happened on SmackDown or somewhere that nobody really watches.
SmackDown.
Like I said, somewhere that nobody really watches. And who cares? He's still going to say five different languages for one stupid word each week without her being, you know, hanging off his dick. So, who cares?
Tim.
Yeah, you know what? Window shopping. I'm not gonna spend any money or try to unload anything on this one. You know, if I have to, then I'll buy it just so, you know, Cesaro can do his own thing and then, Oksana can be humiliated by Teddy Long.
Omega.
You know, I'll buy it for the sake of neither one of them are doing anything interesting in the least, so any shake-up for them is for the best. And at least if they're... at least now if they're going to continue to do nothing, it'll be two lots of nothing instead of one.
Okay. Finally, buy or sell WWE working with All Japan Pro Wrestling. Mace.
Bye! I love talent exchanges. It gives us a chance to see something different. As long as WWE this time doesn't just put the guys as, like, you know, dark matches or, you know, jobbers on NXT, actually give them time to shine. Like, you don't have to work them into a fucking storyline. Just give us a middle match in the middle of the show or something. Showcasing a mid-card guy against one of the old Japan guys. You know, that's what happened in WCW with, like, ECW and, you know, I think it was even New Japan that they did the thing with back in the day. And it gave these guys a chance to shine, and people actually got to see a different style of wrestling. And that's definitely something that today's shows are missing, is variety in wrestlers. I would love to see some more Japanese style. I'd like to actually see some proper Mexican wrestling on WWE television. Not this fucking gimped bullshit that we see out of Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara. You know, I want to see 4,000 flips in the air followed by, you know, a pinky toe drop or something.
Pinky toe, okay.
Have you never watched AAA?
I have.
Then you've seen the pinky toe drop.
Yeah, I know. I understand. Just the name, pinky toe drop. That's all.
I know. but you know, that's the thing. Anything that's going to bring variety into the company, if used properly, I'll buy it up in a second. It's a good concept, and when done right, actually helps the business.
Omega.
Bye.
Oh, shocker, you're buying something from Japan.
And it's not anime or hentai or whatever.
Tim, you and I are going to have a talk later.
Anyway, continue.
Yeah, buy it for the same reasons. It's a great chance to bring variety. It's a great chance to bring over some names you wouldn't normally see over here. Can I please see the Great Muta in the WWE? Just for a little bit. You know, at least long enough for him to actually make something out of Yoshitatsu. Or long enough to have a spitting contest with Triple H. That's what I want.
Spitting
contest. Okay. I got my money on Muta.
It's either that or can we have a WWE match with a 12-year-old Japanese girl?
Available tomorrow on WTRS.
Boom.
Tim.
Yeah, well, I didn't even know I was making a cheap shill. God, it's hardwired into us now.
It's just a scary thing, isn't it? Anyway, May said something that caught my ear and my attention. Something about about doing it properly, using them properly, and not having them job out to somebody in dark matches. So you do it right, and yeah, take my money.
That's buy or sell.
Real.
Bizarre.
Yeah, really. Well,
let me take a guess at what's next. The Great Debate.
It would be.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
Are you ready?
It's now time for this week's WTR Great Debate.
Are you serious, bro? What?
Join the hosts as they debate the greatest wrestling entrance theme of all time.
I am CM Punk, and I am the voice of the voiceless.
Now step in to the WTR Squared Circle for this week's Great Debate.
You didn't say that. Tell me. You did not just say that.
This week on The Great Debate, it's Kurt Angle versus CM Punk.
I'm bumping in my chair, singing along to the song. Now you ruined it. CM Punk.
How come?
I thought like
because it fucking worked. Well, I got it wrong on this case. I will admit it. Mace was wrong. Clip. Next.
Omega.
Jeez, that's. Actually, a tough one for a change.
For a change. Fuck you.
But you didn't do what you usually do. Like, I expected you to pick this Fire Burns, you know, the shitty CM Punk theme.
Didn't we do... We got rid of that one. Didn't we? I think so. Anyway, who are you picking?
God, I don't want to eliminate Angle, though, because it's such a great song to play with. You know, the audience gets into it, whether he's a face or a heel.
Then pick Kurt Angle.
I don't want... It's not the better song, though. God damn it. What number were these in the bracket?
4 or 5.
Okay, I was going to say, they better be side by side.
There, 4 or 5.
Punk song fits too damn well. I have to say Punk.
Tim.
Oh, problem with Cult of Personality. Yeah, it fits Punk. It's just the right song for him and all this other stuff. The thing is, when I was a nightclub DJ, I actually had an extended remix version of that song that I played regularly. And it's ingrained in my brain. All the experiences that I had at the bar as opposed to focusing on CM Punk every time I hear the song. And just because of that, you know, and it's not going to make any damn difference at all which way I vote here, so I'm going with Kurt Angle.
See, Omega, if you picked Kurt Angle, the song would have stayed. Just saying. Anyway.
Say that again? What?
Nothing.
By the way, tense bowl game.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Listen, have you been listening to the crowd? Like, they're really into
this. No, game. I've had this muted. I should really.
This is unlike any crowd I've heard in, like, forever in a football game. They're blowing horns and shit. Anyway.
Wait, they're getting into it?
Yeah.
My God, how dare they?
I know. It's 30-28 New England, and Baltimore's about to kick a game-winning field goal with 2 seconds left. But next up, it's Eddie Guerrero versus America's Most Wanted.
Viva la raza.
I lie, I cheat, I steal.
I got that passion that's lasting long. Los mujeres fall in love with that Latin charm. One woman isn't enough, amigo. Siempre cogiendo más mujeres porque soy latino. And I'm tougher than tough, calling your blood, but
Tim, since you've been making so much noise, you're up first.
Eddie Guerrero, light cheek steel.
How come?
Stop and think about some of the things that Eddie was very notoriously well known for doing in the ring in the middle of a match. You know, he's throwing the chair at his opponent, then lying down, untying his boot to get out of the ankle lock. Things, you know, just things like that. And it just fits with the cheats and the lies. And I don't know what the hell he stole, except for his with his nephew Chavo and a baby bottle one time.
He stole victories by cheating and lying.
There you go. He stole wins by cheating and lying. But yeah, you know, it's just, and it was Eddie Guerrero. When you came out, you know, you're going to be entertained by him, and he's one of my all time favorites in the history of the business. Was Eddie. And you hear that music, I got pumped up for whatever was going on. America's Most Wanted, we define the defendant's guilty. Meh, okay, good for you. So my vote is for Eddie.
Wow.
Big surprise.
No, that kick was just...
Oh, it's like...
it's like right
this,
over...
This is not the ending you want to a fucking football game.
No.
Oh.
Because that's going to be controversial as fuck.
It goes right over the post. And good.
Like, only just by like a fucking millimeter.
Yeah. Anyway, Omega.
A miss is a miss.
No, it was good. It was good. By like a foot. Not even. But anyway, Omega.
Yeah, it's going to be Eddie. I mean, the only thing really going against it is the fact that it's an adapted theme from Los Guerreros. But it's still a really good theme for Eddie. It sounds good. It's catchy. It tells you exactly what you need to know about the guy. It works. It fits. And it sounds good. That's all I can ask of a theme. AMW, you know. Good thing Lindsay's not here tonight.
Well, she's not. Yeah.
She has a sad face in our chat room.
Hi, Linz. I'm sorry. I'm voting against him. It's just... Aside from the judge screaming at the top of his lungs, there's nothing really telling me who these guys are in that theme.
I can't review that? Okay. Anyway, Mace.
Stay on target. Stay on target.
Oh, by the way, Lindsay says, fuck you all.
And I haven't even said anything yet, and I'm already being yelled at. It's not fair.
We love you.
We'll try and kidnap Edge for you. Yeah, unfortunately, AMW generic as fuck. So especially for TNA at that point in time, everything was this rock guitar riff in every entrance. Guerrero's just had a lot more personality to it. So yeah, gonna go for Eddie's theme. Sorry, Linz.
So Eddie Guerrero and CM Punk move on. Up next week, Edge takes on the Hardy Boys, while Goldust takes on Goldberg.
Oy vey.
He's a Jew. There you go. Proof.
Holler,
you don't have to be a Jew to know the words oy and vey. Shut up. And you know, it takes one to know one.
Okay, Tim.
Except I'm not Jewish, you are. Move on. Why don't we just get into quick hits?
Okay, Tim, Rocky Horror Leg Stein.
Shut the piss up and do it.
You're the one who said you have nice legs.
Get into it.
You have nice legs, don't you?
Get into it. Don't you be talking. Okay, the last thing I need to hear is you saying I have nice legs,
this
Rocky.
Is what you're saying.
Okay, shut up, Fag. Medical.
He said he has nice legs.
Shut up. I said I had damn good legs because I used to play hockey, and so I do. Shut up. Will you just get on to quick hits?
I think I got him to
Let's
talk
do
about
it.
I got him to talk
yeah,
about
that's
on
enough.
Air, so I,
Come on, you
I,
can
I
do
win.
It. Let's go.
Do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
Wow.
That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them. Wildfire. Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits.
These are going to be simple and right to the point. Tim Stein, if you
what do you want?
If you choke a Smurf, what color does it turn?
What? So that's what the kids are calling it now.
Omega, I hate you. I hate you. I fucking hate you.
You choke this Smurf, what color does it turn?
Yes.
Purple.
Why?
I don't know. What did this blue begin with? Add a little bit of it. There you go. Nobody said I had to answer why. That's two questions.
No. Alright, anyway. Mace, if you tell a joke in the forest, but nobody lives, was it a joke?
Yes, it was, because the joke's on you for telling it in the forest where there's no one else around.
Okay. Omega, if you were written about in the newspaper, on the front page, what would the headline say?
Toy collector kills Canadian for smart-ass remark.
I like that. So it's Canadian on Canadian crime.
Fuck. Off. Toy collector kills Philadelphian.
This is coming from the Canadian-American.
Okay. Tim.
What?
If rabbit's feet are so lucky, then what happened to the rabbit?
You know, I never thought rabbit's feet were lucky, simply because it never helped the fucking rabbit. But if I have to give you an answer to this question, it gets turned into Hasenpfeffer, which is, by the way, a German dish made with rabbits.
Coming soon to Cooking with Tim Stein.
Uncensored.
Mace, why do superheroes wear their underwear on the outside of their clothes?
Because they're in a hurry to get dressed.
That's the answer.
Yeah.
Okay.
You think about it. How quickly does Superman change from normal clothes to his tights? He's going so quick that he puts them on in the wrong order.
That's what you get for getting dressed in a phone booth.
Exactly.
But,
yeah.
But shouldn't you already be wearing the underwear? Because
they like the feel of the silk against their skin. What do you want from him?
At times wearing spandex does get very constricting, and at times it is very fucking cold.
And finally, Omega, if you became the lead singer of a band, what would the name of your band be?
Not Encore.
The Hentai Headhunters.
Shut your face.
Hentai Hurricanes? Let me guess, we're having words after the show.
Many.
I don't think they'll be pleasant either.
Start with apple, apricot, acorn.
That's all.
That was the next one.
God, it just makes me think of all the times this one friend of mine kept saying, okay, this is what I'm going to name my new indie band. It's just complete, utter bullshit thing. And then I can never remember them when I need them.
Chatroom suggests for you the Luchadors.
Oh.
The Lucha Whores.
That's too easy.
My apologies.
Too easy.
Yes, she is.
It's also too easy.
That's what he said.
Lindsay says Prime.
No, because then Primus will sue me.
No, Optimus.
No, then Hasbro.
Then Hasbro will sue him. The Megatons.
God. See, I would never go into music in the first place, so this is, I'm completely unprepared for this.
I don't know why, but I could see Omega playing guitar in a band called Vanguard. Bass guitar.
Oh, fuck.
Bass guitarists get all chicks.
No, he'd be the rhythm addict. He stays rhythmic, so you stay away.
Now you're just stealing my catchphrases.
Yeah. At least somebody's willing to steal your shit. It's not like I took any of your good concepts.
You know what? You know what? My band would be named Copyright Infringement. Just for all the people who would Google for my downloads.
Actually, I like it. That, and that way you just cover everybody else's songs.
Get cover band called Copyright Infringement. That's actually perfect.
That I works. Like it.
Yeah, no, that works. I guess we're done. Hey, everybody, thanks for tuning in to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here, Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't forget, join us next Sunday night when we're probably going to do something similar. In the meantime, tomorrow night, Monday night, right after Raw, come on over to the Wild Talk Radio Network and check out the Raw Post Show, where they basically condense 3 hours into one. Isn't that what you do, Rock?
Something along those lines. Plus, you know, we'll probably talk about some football and stuff. It's the Raw Post Show live every Monday night, 11:30.
There you go. And, of course, Tuesday night at, 9 o'clock Eastern or some silly time like that, we've got Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, don't call it KWR, yeah, with your host, Alan Wojcik, and he interviews people.
The his artist formerly known as Winter will be on the program. Katie Lee Birchall, whatever you know her as, will be on the program on Kayfabe Wrestling Radio.
Awesome. And, of course, Wednesday night, just another goddamn wrestling show.
Hashtag BS2012. Get it trending.
Hashtag what?
BS2012.
Now, why are we getting that trending?
Barry Schaefer 2012. BS2012.
But I'm just wondering, why are we getting that trending? Listen, you know what? Why don't you tune in Wednesday night, 8:30 Eastern, and find out.
I thought they were going to change the hashtag to hashtag Australians all sound the same.
They do.
Yeah, I was about to ask, Mace, what were you doing on the program on Wednesday night?
I was trying to...
I heard you.
Disprove a theory that they've had for quite a while, that myself and Massive Q, that we both sound alike, and considering that we were both there in the same... you know, internet space, talking at the same time, they still didn't buy it.
Doesn't matter.
Well, yeah, that's because you Australians all look alike.
I hope I don't look like him. He's like two, he's like three of me. Massive Q for a fucking reason.
Wait a minute, he's like three of you? I've seen pictures of you. Holy shit. Give him
exactly.
A diet fucking Coke, for Christ's sakes. Thursday night, The Rack with Lindsay Ward.
Yes.
And Rock.
And Rock and Mace at times, too. We talk TNA Wrestling and other WWE odds and ends. It's The Rack with Lindsay Ward. Check it out every Thursday night.
Yeah, there you go. And, of course, Saturday night, midnight-ish, as close as they can get to it, depending on when people start showing up. It's another episode of CB Radio.
You know, the countdown to 250 is on, and how many times will it get put on hold while doing a show? Tune in, find out. You never know. It's CB Radio every Saturday night.
Okay, the countdown is on to 250. What are we at?
Last night was 246.
Oh, my God. Four to go.
Check out cbradio.ewzone.com for a nice little website about the show.
There you go. And like I said at the beginning of all of these shilling things that we're doing, next Sunday night, Russ Talk Radio returns. Show up. You can call, get interactive, do all that fun stuff. Everybody, thanks for tuning in. Enjoy the week.
So this doesn't mean you're actually going to be here next week?
No, he's going to just pee yet again. Thank you. Fuck.
Oh, like Christ, I'm not even here now. Shut up.
It'll be like another 6 weeks. Bye, Tim. Everyone say bye to Tim.
Holy shit, Tony! Get off my lawn.
Get off my show.
Get off my lawn.
Get off my show.
Get off what?
WildTalkRadio.com.